everybody, it's Ben from the MMA Podcasters, and I am flying solo today because Andy's called in sick, but that's fine. I mean, we can just talk about MMA and shit anyway, because UFC London happened on Saturday. I kind of watched it. I kind of got really drunk, and that's about all there is. But however, let's talk about today's episode anyway. So, what can we talk about? I'll tell you one thing that we can talk about. Never ever take any tips from us ever again. The way we was banging on about Verdum, it was like, fuck. I mean, we just basically said that Verdum, that there's no way he was going to lose. I mean, I can even stick a clip in it from last time. Just take a listen. But, yeah. We did say that, you know, Volkov would definitely have a chance if he kept it standing up. And to be honest, I don't think Fabrizio Verdum played his game. He just did not do what you would have expected him to do. I mean, if it would have been me, with the amount of jiu-jitsu ability that he has, I would have just literally just crocodile crawled from one end of the cage to the other, picked his fucking ankle and then tried to submit him. I mean, to try and stand there and blow with Volkov was the biggest mistake that he did. And I don't understand why he did it. Maybe he just got a little bit cocky. Maybe he just thought, this guy's fucking nobody. Unbeaten in the UFC. I mean, he clearly should have done a couple of things different. I mean, his eye was probably, you know, very close to getting stopped anyway. But I mean, hats off to Volkov. Like, he rocked him a few times during that fight, and Verdum just had nothing to come back with, really. Even when he did go for the takedowns, he just could not really make something with it, which was frustrating. As most of you know by now, I am a big jiu-jitsu geek anyway, and I just don't know. You know, I was so looking forward to this fight because I was thinking we're going to get a decent submission out of this, but then nothing happened. And, I mean, where do we go from here? You know, there's a lot of people now saying, or a lot of people now suggesting that, you know, where does Volkov go? You know, who does he fight next? I mean, it could be anybody. The heavyweight division, the light heavyweight division is on hold anyway for champions because of DC Cormier and Stipe Miocic fighting against each other. So there's definitely no title shot on the line. I don't think that they're going to throw in an interim title for this, Gustafsson. And I don't know. I mean, I kind of feel for Fabrizio Verdum because he's a veteran, you know, he's a veteran of the game and he's approaching, like, you know, he's like in the winter of his career. And, well, like, where does he go from here? You know, he's going to end up, I don't know, maybe fighting Mark Hunt or somebody, because Mark Hunt's just come off a loss as well against Curtis Blaydes, which was, again, you know, Curtis Blaydes just completely took him out of his comfort zone, just like Volkov did with Verdum. So I would probably say Verdum versus Mark Hunt, which would be a great fight. You know, they've fought before. Fabrizio, I believe, knocked him out. I think it was a knee, but don't quote me on that. And Volkov, I mean, where does Volkov go from here? I would probably say, like, throw him to Cain Velasquez. Cain Velasquez is due back anyway. You know, he wants to probably go for another title shot. But that's not going to happen anytime soon because, like I said, DC and Miocic are fighting against each other. So where do they go? I would say Volkov versus Cain Velasquez seems a decent matchup. Or maybe Volkov versus Curtis Blaydes. Both of them obviously come off a really great win now and, yeah, throw them in against each other and then whoever wins out of them will go probably top two. Francis Ngannou, what's he doing now? I think he's back training now. But he did call out... Who did he call out? He called out somebody. I can't remember who. But, yeah, we'll have to see with that. But I would say Curtis Blaydes versus Volkov would be a great matchup, I think. Again, it would be Volkov wanting to keep it standing, Curtis Blaze probably wanting to wrestle him. Whether they can stop each other from doing that, only time will tell. But let's go into the co-main event, which I was really upset about as well. You know, I was so hyped for Jimmy Manua, and like I said in the last episode, I think it was a bit of a piss take that Jimmy Manua wasn't headlining the card. Bearing in mind, it's in London, he's from London, and then you bring two guys from, you know, you could almost not be further away from England to headline the card, which was fine with me. But it did piss me off a little bit because I think Jimmy deserved a little bit more respect. In terms of the fight, from what I remember, I think Jimmy broke his nose. Or it looked like he broke his nose within the first round, I think it was. And yeah, I mean, it was one of those fights, like, to me, it felt that it could have gone either way, but it really didn't. Like, I felt that Jimmy was pressuring him enough, but then Jimmy also ended up getting dropped a few times. I mean, hats off to Jimmy. He's got literally the fucking heart of a lion, right? Fucking chin made of a breeze block. The fucking dog's coming in. Out. Good girl. Sorry about that. And, you know, fucking hats off to Jimmy. And Jan Blachowicz as well. Obviously, Jan Blachowicz with a great win. Winning the rematch, so he's 1-1 now. Maybe we see a trilogy fight. We never know. But it just felt like that I think Jimmy could have... I don't know. I think he got flustered. The first time he got dropped, I think he got flustered and he didn't know where to go from there. Because I think once somebody figures you out and somebody figures out your rhythm of how you're going to come in, because Jan Blachowicz figured that out really early in the round. I think once he got dropped, Jimmy was a bit reluctant to go back in there. Didn't really want to trade in the pocket just in case he got clipped again, which I can totally understand. But it just seemed like that there was no real plan B to go from there. You know, there was nothing really of substance to go, right, okay, plan A didn't work, let's go to plan B. Okay, and if that doesn't work, then, you know, we'll see, we'll have to go from there. It just seemed like he was just a little bit, I don't know, like Jan Blachowicz was over his head, which I didn't think he was. But like I said, hats off to Jan Blachowicz. He's a great guy as well. You know, both of them showing a tremendous amount of respect to each other, which is what we want, obviously, as MMA fans. You get some of those people out there who are just like, you know, oh, all I want to see is just Colby Covington fucking gob off to some dude, you know, or talk about Mike Perry's fucking misses and shit like that, you know, like, fuck those guys. But I think, you know, where does that go from here then? You know, because Jimmy was, I think, number 5. I think Jan Blachowicz was 11th. Again, don't quote me on that shit. And, you know, going up into the light heavyweight division, it kind of just feels like, again, it's kind of stuck because you've got Gustafsson, who's now turned around and said he'll fight anybody, but it has to be for an interim title. But then you've also got Jimmy Manu, who's probably going to drop down a few ranks, who maybe could fight somebody like Tyson Pedro. And then Jan Blachowicz, like, where's he going to end up? I mean, those rankings are dodgy as fuck anyway. You know, we've said it loads of times where, you know, people are just getting shuffled about for no fucking reason. You know, if you come out with a decent performance but don't make weight, Josh Emmett, right, then you're still going to get to jump, you know, fucking 11 ranks or whatever it was. So rankings just don't really matter anymore. I think they should just probably get rid of the UFC rankings and just have people decide, or have the matchmakers decide, which would be the most lucrative sort of matchup. I mean, we don't see the rankings from 15 below anyway, although there's, you know, over 50 people within each division. But it's just kind of like, why bother with the top 15? Because you don't match those top 15 up anyway. Just give the public the top 5. Whoever the top 5 are, and then you can go from there. But I don't run that shit show, so it doesn't really bother me. But yeah, so like I said, I think Jimmy could go up against somebody like Tyson Pedro. I think that would be probably a really good matchup for both of them. I think it'd be a great opportunity for Tyson Pedro as well. He's, you know, still a very young fighter. I mean, Jimmy's still young, you know. Jimmy isn't old. he's still got, you know, many fights in him. He's still got knockouts in him. But I'm just a bit worried because once that chin goes, you know, he now got knocked out by Volkan Uzdemir in very quick fashion. And he's been dropped a few times against Jan Blachowicz as well. So I'm a bit worried that Jimmy might just, his chin might just be gone. You know, we've seen it with like Chuck Liddell and that. You know, once Chuck Liddell's chin went, fuck me, like everybody was putting him on his arse. And obviously I don't want that to happen. Like we said, you know, Jimmy is like probably the main person that's flying the flag for the UK in MMA at the moment. And obviously Darren Till as well, UFC Liverpool. What a fucking achievement. You know, the first ever event in Liverpool. But I don't think you've got to just give it to Darren Till because there's been, you know, people like Paddy Pimblett who's been flying the flag for Liverpoolian MMA for a long time now. And obviously the UFC has taken notice, but again, you couldn't just say it was just Darren Till, because the thing is, for those people that don't know who the Scousers are, right, if Darren Till turns around and says, listen, guys, get behind me and we're going to get the UFC to come to Liverpool, the Scousers will fucking get behind their boy and they will get them to come to fucking Liverpool. That's just the way they work. You know, they support their own, very passionate people, very passionate fight fans as well. You know, I would say Liverpool is a bit more of a boxing city than MMA, but this might just be the changing of the guard. You just never know. But going on from there, because I'm just waffling shit at the moment, and today's episode isn't going to be that long because Andy isn't here, and to be honest, I just haven't got the fucking time this week. This week has just been so fucking hectic. The, you know, obviously the coming out of UFC London to people getting in touch to what we're going to do in the future to trying to plan ahead and still do what we currently do. It's tough on top of working, you know, 60, 70 hours a week, still full time. So I hope people just, you know, bear with us for the time being. We do appreciate all the messages that we're getting on Instagram. And I think that's about it. I think, yeah, just Instagram. We're pretty much active just on Instagram. I mean, it's just Instagram, share to Facebook and Twitter, and then just never check Facebook or Twitter. That's just the way it works, I guess. But, I mean, going on from there, obviously I do want to, because we spoke to Oliver Enkamp, I do want to touch on that as well. You know, I do feel sorry for the guy. I felt like he didn't really show what he wanted to show everybody. I think he started off very loose, but the good thing is for a guy that's still young, you know, at 26, I believe he is, for 26 years old, he is still got a lot to learn, which is a big, big plus point for him. And the other big plus point for him is that he just never looked like he was fazed by the occasion. Like, the occasion was not too big for him. You've got the O2 Arena, it holds 20,000 people, and you've gone into somebody else's backyard to try and do the job, you know. Hats off just for walking in there, you know. Any person that walks into that octagon, which is not their territory, you know, like anybody out there that goes from America or wherever to places like Brazil, you know, like, those fans are savages. Like, they really get behind they're Brazilian fighters. And you'll get the same at Liverpool as well. I mean, the Liverpoolians, they will fucking all right, wach. Whoever Darren Till ends up fighting, I feel for you. I do feel for you because it will be intimidating and it will take some, it'll take a lot of mental energy to sort of walk through that crowd who, I don't even know how big the Echo Arena is. I think it's just over 10,000. You know, you're going to have 10,000 Scousers there that are just going to, they're going to give it to you. They're going to give it to you as badly as fucking Darren Till. And the thing is, if Till would end up losing, all fucking hell would break loose up there. But, you know, that's just something that we would have to look out for in the future. But I think all in all, the UFC London card was really good. Big Paul Craig with that fucking last minute triangle. I mean, talk about timing. I think it was 4 minutes and 59 seconds. And the thing is, if he wouldn't have tapped, he probably would have won it on a decision. But the thing is, that triangle was so tight. For anybody that's never done jiu-jitsu before, once you get that triangle wrapped up or if you get wrapped up by somebody and it's tight, you know. You just know. It's just, he probably didn't know what time it was. If he would have gone down and saw that it was like 4 minutes and 55 seconds, he probably would not have tapped. He probably would have gone, all right, I'll take the risk going out here because I'm going to win this on decision, which in my eyes, he was winning that. I still clearly remember the fight. I wasn't smashed at that point. Nowhere near as I was a couple of hours later. But it was just tight. It was in, and the tap came within like a couple of seconds, which is crazy. But I'm really happy for Paul Craig. And yeah, the whole sort of undercard was going. And then he also had, you know, Danny who came in with a knockout win as well. And all in all, you've got Leon Edwards who fought Peter Sabota with a second round knockout. Again, Leon Edwards, like, where's he gonna go? Again, that welterweight vision is just not fucking moving. Like, the only person that's fighting at the moment, the only person that's getting through it is Darren Till. And the only reason Darren Till hasn't fought yet because it's his coach that turned around and said, listen, lad, all right, I don't think you should be fighting this soon. Which is fair enough. And please excuse my Scouse accent. It is shit. And I know it. I know it's shit. But I still do it. Every time I meet any of my Scouse mates, they get it. And they don't even laugh. But they just get it. I can't fucking help myself. I get the same with Scottish people as well. As soon as I see a Scottish guy and he's like, oh, whereabouts are you from? Glasgow. And yari, pal. It just fucking happens, but whatever. But all in all, I think UFC London was good, but it could have been better. And I think if Bisping and Till would have been on it, it probably would have been a lot better. I don't even think it got sold out. I think there was just a few tickets left. There wasn't many tickets. They pretty much sold it out, but they didn't. I don't think. But, I mean, I'm just going to... We're like 17 minutes deep in this or something. But I'm just going to cut it here because I still need to edit this footage and then I need to stick it on, which I'm probably going to do tomorrow, which is Thursday. So we're going to call it the Thursday update, update, something like that. I don't know. But yeah, we'll take a look at that. And I think the next card, I haven't even had a look who the next card is. In fact, the next card that's coming up is Cage Warriors 92, which features your boy, Nathaniel Wood. I don't know at what point you stop calling yourself the prospect. Like, you are not the fucking prospect anymore, son. All right? You've been a bantamweight champion for a while, all right? You are way beyond prospect. If anything, upgrade yourself. Upgrade yourself to king or something like that. But yeah, Nathaniel Wood's fighting this weekend. Cage Warriors 92. It's going to be on, I think, on Fight Pass from early on, like 7 o'clock, UFC Fight Pass. And then I think from 9 o'clock, it's going to be in England on BT Sports. And I'm working till 6. So I'll be home at 7 and I'll be sticking on Cage Warriors and we'll chat about that next week. But Andy should be back by then. We just need to try and figure out like when we can come together because you've also got Easter weekend next week. And you know what Easter weekend means? It means people come around your house and get drunk and they don't leave when you fucking tell them to leave. Oh well. I suppose that's just the way it goes. But anyway, thank you for listening. Thanks for all the messages. And hopefully we will see you next week. And if there's any other videos or anything else, any content that you would like us to put out, then if you just hashtag MMA Podcaster us, right, on Insta, Twitter, or Facebook or whatever, and then we'll take a look at it. If you got any questions, just let us know. We've also got some videos coming out soon, which will be starting for the Khabib Nurmagomedov versus Tony Ferguson fight, and we're quite excited for that because that means now I've started editing video as well, which I've never done before, so that will be exciting for hopefully everybody, but we'll see how it goes. Thank you for listening anyway, thank you for tuning in, and I will see you next week.